Gracious God and Father, grant to us by your Holy Spirit that you will open our hearts and minds to receive the gospel. And Holy Spirit, that in your hands this word will go out with much power, that you will equip me to proclaim it faithfully and clearly. And Lord, that you would cause it to prosper in your might. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Looking at two scripture passages, one from the Old Testament, one from the New. First one is Isaiah 44, verses 1 through 5. And then Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 8, from which the sermon text will come, verses 4 through 8. Isaiah 44, 1 to 5, and Acts 1, 1 through 8. And there is so much from the prophet Isaiah that we could read to shed further light on this passage, Isaiah 44, 1 to 5, but just a few brief words, that this is in the context of hope beyond judgments. Isaiah has told Judah they will go into captivity in Babylon. God will bring all of his judgments upon them for their persistent sin and idolatry, their unfaithfulness or faithlessness. But hope, there is hope beyond judgments. A servant will come, a servant in whom they will have salvation. And in his strength and in his salvation, they will become God's witnesses in the earth. And we notice that word witness in chapter 43, verse 10 and chapter 43, verse 12, that Israel will be God's witnesses in the world, a witness to his glory and to his Godhead. And then in Isaiah 44, verses 1 through 5, we hear how the Lord will raise up his people as a faithful witness again, beyond their sin, beyond their judgments, is the salvation of God, and here is how that will come. Yet hear now, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus says the Lord, who made you and formed you from the womb, who will help you. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and you, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen, for I will pour water on him who is thirsty, and floods on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit on your descendants, and my blessing on your offspring. They will spring up among the grass like willows by the watercourses. One will say, I am the Lord's. Another will call himself by the name of Jacob. Another will write with his hand, the Lord's, and name himself by the name of Israel. And then Acts chapter 1, 1 through 8. This is the evangelist Luke. Luke, who also wrote the Gospel of Luke, and then the book of Acts. The former accounts, that is Luke, I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Your congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, sure at some point in your life you've had that experience of waking up from maybe a deep sleep. Maybe it's a nap. You just meant to take a 10-minute nap, but it extended a lot longer than that. And you wake up. It's the middle of the afternoon, but you are completely disoriented. Where you are, what's going on, what you're supposed to be doing, who's around you. Or maybe it's something a little bit more darker, something much more, much deeper and heart-wrenching than that. You feel disoriented spiritually. God feels far away. A darkness descends upon you, and you wonder where he is, whether his love is for you, his grace for you. And in these two different extremes, and in between, we can experience the feeling of being disoriented. Who am I? Where is God? What's my purpose? And so often in the Christian church and in our own lives, we demonstrate that disorientation. When we become overcome by fear, or maybe fighting within the church, or we make peace with sin in our lives and we just give into it. Whatever it is, in our lives we show our disorientation. We forget who we are, where we are, what we are called to, who our God is by our lives. Well, this morning we are reminded that today, as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we know, we live in, we are possessed by the Lord Jesus Christ, who dwells in us and with us by his Holy Spirit. He is present with us. A week and a half ago, we remembered and we celebrated his ascension into heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ has gone into heaven there to the applause and the praise of heaven, to receive glory that is due his name. But though he has left, he is not for a moment absent from us. We see that especially in the gift of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. That at Pentecost, the ascended Christ poured out his salvation on earth through the Spirit and continues to do so. Pentecost happened once. The Holy Spirit was poured out once, but ever since, all those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ are indwelt by that Holy Spirit, are baptized with the Holy Spirit, belong to Jesus Christ through the work of the Holy Spirit, as does the entirety of the church. In 1 Corinthians 3 and 1 Corinthians 6, the Apostle Paul says that we as a body, we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. We are his temple, and we as individuals, chapter 6, we too are temples of the Holy Spirit, individually as Christians and as a body. When we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ who has ascended, who has received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, has poured him out upon us. Christ is with us. Christ lives in us, dwells in us by the power of the Spirit. And so we belong to the Father, and so we go forth in his name. And so we sing with that hymn that we sang before the service began, O church, arise and put your armor on. So Spirit, come, put strength in every stride, give grace for every hurdle. Today we give thanks in a special way for the gift of the Holy Spirit whom Christ has poured out. When Christ was on the earth, when he was living with his disciples in John 14, 15, and 16, he says, you know the Holy Spirit, for he is with you. But when I go to heaven, when I ascend, the Holy Spirit will be in you. And there's very significance that when Jesus walked with his disciples, the Holy Spirit was with them because Christ was with them. Because remember, Christ was indwelt by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came upon the Virgin Mary to give the Son of God a human nature. At the incarnation, there was the Holy Spirit. He was baptized with the Holy Spirit by John the Baptist at the Jordan. And he went forward to face the tempter in the power of the Holy Spirit. He did all of his work for you and for me in the power of the Spirit. He even offered up his life on the cross, says Hebrews 9, through the eternal Holy Spirit. And so the Spirit was with his disciples because he was in Jesus. He was with them in Christ. But he says, when I ascend, when I leave from here, then the Holy Spirit will be in you. That Christ, he's saying, Jesus is saying, and I will be in you. And so today we celebrate that Christ is with us, Christ is in us. How? Through the operation of the Holy Spirit and the indwelling power and gift of the Spirit. This morning we meditate on this under the theme, the ascended Christ pours out salvation on earth through the Spirit. The ascended Christ, who is in heaven, pours out salvation on earth through the Spirit. As we're looking at Acts 1, 4 through 8, we'll look at two things. First of all, the gift of the Spirit. Jesus says, wait, don't leave Jerusalem, stay there until I send the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Father. So we look at the gift of the Holy Spirit, and then secondly, the mission of the Spirit. In verse 8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So we have the gift of the Spirit and the mission of the Spirit. First, the gift of the Spirit. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And it was 10 days later, after 40 years of teaching them about the kingdom. 10 days, he would ascend into heaven, and 10 days after that is Pentecost. The day, a Sunday, when the Holy Spirit was poured out upon his church. And so Jesus is saying, wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father. The promise of the Father and what you've heard from me and what John the Baptist showed you in his baptism. When John the Baptist said, I baptize with water, but he was coming after me, is greater than me. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. That is with the very reality that the water signifies, the outpouring of the Spirit of the God of life, the God who gives fruitfulness and grace and new life. And so there's this threefold witness. Jesus says, the promise of the Father, what you've heard from me and from John the Baptist. And we know that Jesus spoke, for example, John 14 and 16, he speaks of the promise of the Holy Spirit, the coming of the Holy Spirit. And we already mentioned how John the Baptist witnessed to the coming of the Holy Spirit. But Jesus includes the promise of the Father. In other words, this is not just a New Testament surprise, you know, oh, the Holy Spirit, oh, that's right. He matters as well, but this is an Old Testament promise. The Old Testament scriptures are steeped in this expectation. We focus in the Old Testament, and rightly so, on the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the deliverer. He is the conqueror. He is the champion. But that's not the only focus of the Old Testament. Together with this champion comes the life-giving gift and pouring out of the Holy Spirit. That's why we read from Isaiah 44, verses 1 through 5, where here is Israel in the darkness of sin and the judgment that is to come. But God says, beyond this, I will pour out my Spirit. A servant is coming, and I will give him the Holy Spirit. Right? Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel. And Jesus says in Matthew 4, that's me. That's me. I am the one indwelt by the Holy Spirit, anointed by the Spirit for this work. But it's in and through the work of Jesus Christ that Isaiah is given also this prophecy of the Holy Spirit who will be not only given to Jesus Christ, but also poured out on all of his people. So he says in verse 3, I will pour water on him who is thirsty. And floods on the dry ground. I will pour my Spirit on your descendants and my blessing on your offspring. That is new life, fruitfulness. Here's this dry and barren and thirsty ground, hardened in sin, dead in sin. And God says, but I will send my Spirit. He will give new life. And more than that, he says, they will spring up among the grass like willows by the watercourses. What does he mean? Well, one will say, I am the Lord's. Another will call himself by the name of Jacob. Another will write with his hand, the Lord's, and name himself by the name of Israel. What's he saying is, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, many will come to know the God of Israel. That's mission. We have this fruitfulness, this new life that the Spirit gives. Grain and grass will grow because of Him. New life will appear because of His power. But we have also this ingathering, that the Lord is going to gather to Himself all those who come to Christ. And it's the Holy Spirit who will accomplish this. Pentecost. And the Holy Spirit was poured out. It was poured out on the day that the Jews celebrated that Old Testament festival of Pentecost. What was it? Well, it was the beginning of the harvest. Like the first part of the harvest had come in. Harvest was fully begun, and they would enjoy the first little bit of it with a great expectation for more. It was a time of celebration. God has been so good. He's, you know, provided so much fruitfulness in the lands, and we get to celebrate this harvest that we're bringing in because of His grace. And it was on that day that the Holy Spirit came. Why? Well, because Pentecost pointed ahead to the day that the Holy Spirit would come to give new life and then gather in the harvest. That is new life, new spiritual life, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then to gather in a harvest from all around the world. And around the world, there will be those who say, I also want to be named by the Lord. I belong to Him too. From every tribe, tongue, and nation. Isaiah sees this. He's given this message from the Lord. In Galatians 3, the Apostle Paul follows up on that when he's speaking of the promise of God to Abraham. Remember God's promise to Abraham, I will bless you and make you a blessing to all the families of the earth. That salvation will come to you, Abraham, and to people from every tribe, tongue, and nation. And the Apostle Paul says that was the Spirit, the promise of the Holy Spirit. And we'll get to the mission of the Spirit in a moment. But I want us to meditate a little bit on that gift of new life. What does this mean for you? What's the so what for you and for me? Well, apart from the Holy Spirit, we have no enjoyment of God's salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ, who has conquered, who has died for you and for me, and who has risen for you and for me, who has ascended into heaven, He has purchased all of these blessings. He is our champion. He is our conqueror. And through Him, we conquer. Through Him, we die to sin and we rise to new life. By His strength alone can we put sin to death and live for God. The faith that was in Him is now at work in us. The strength by which He lived a holy life is now also living in you and me. No, it's not yet perfected, but true and real. Now, how can this be? Only through the work of the Holy Spirit. See, when Jesus ascended into heaven, He ascended into glory, to the glory of heaven. But that glory was not acknowledged on the earth. But He sent His Holy Spirit so that the glory of Christ in heaven, acknowledged there fully and openly, may also be acknowledged in the earth. What does the Holy Spirit do? He opens blind eyes to see the glory of Jesus. And He gives us faith in these dead hearts. He makes these dead hearts alive that we may see Jesus and believe in Him. Because as long as Christ is separated from you and me, all of His salvation, all that He has accomplished for us, that remains over there. Outside of me, I need to belong to Jesus. How can what He has done, how can that become mine? It is only through the Holy Spirit who unites us to Jesus Christ. And He gives us new life. That's called union with Jesus Christ. It's what the Apostle Paul always speaks of as being in Christ. And we give thanks to it, and we praise the Holy Spirit for that gift and pray for that. Holy Spirit, bring me to Jesus Christ. Bring me closer to Him, nearer, still nearer. That what is Jesus may more and more, what belongs to Him may more and more also be mine experientially. That's the gift of the Holy Spirit. New life, fruitfulness. Jesus Christ at work in you and me and in all Christians around the world through the Spirit. Secondly, the mission of the Spirit. The mission of the Spirit. Not only does He come to give us new life and to unite us to Jesus Christ, but He comes to spread this gospel, to bring the good news of the ascended, glorified Jesus Christ, His kingdom, that Jesus reigns over all, and to then extend that good news and extend that kingdom into all the earth. And we see this mission in verse 6 particularly. And it comes after a question. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked Him, that is the disciples, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And He said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in His own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to Me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth, to the end of the earth. The question is, Lord, will You at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? I don't want to meditate long on that question, though I believe it involved a misunderstanding. They're saying, Lord, will You now, immediately, will You elevate and establish now Israel as a nation again, ascendant above all the rest of the earth? Will You, in a sense, restore the throne of David again? They're thinking of Israel politically, nationally. Now, again, we don't know exactly what was going on in their minds when they asked that question, but that's the kind of thing, that's the kind of the sort of expectation that the Jews had at the time of Jesus Christ. In fact, in Luke 19, verse 11, Jesus tells a parable to correct the kind of thinking that Jesus was going to establish the kingdom immediately. And that's at least part of what's going on here. But what we do know, what is clear in our minds, what is objectively laid before us, is what Christ teaches will be the mission and the work of the Holy Spirit. He says, it's not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in His own authority. In other words, it's not for you to know. It's for you to go and to get to work. I have a mission for you. I have a calling for you. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to Me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. What is the mission of the Holy Spirit? It is to extend the kingdom of the Lord Jesus. What is the kingdom of the Lord Jesus? His reign, His rule in our hearts and in our lives. Driving out sin. It's the forgiveness of sin. It's the conquest of sin more and more in our lives. Holiness and righteousness lived out in our lives. No, not perfected now, but truly begun. That's the kingdom of Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus tells us the kingdom is not political or geographical. It is spiritual. Will You at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Jesus says, let's not talk about that. Let's focus on not politics and geography and national borders and so forth, but the power of the Holy Spirit. See, the kingdom of God is spiritual. That is to say, it grows and extends and permeates the world through the work of the Holy Spirit. Not through politics, not through military might, not through any fleshly wisdom and power, but through the Spirit and His work in and through the preaching of the gospel. He's saying, you will be My witnesses. That is, you will show and in your lives and you will proclaim with your mouths the wonderful works of God. You will share the gospel and live the gospel. And that's how My kingdom will spread and grow. Now, don't misunderstand me. The kingdom of Christ permeates all of life. When I say the kingdom is spiritual, that doesn't mean, well, it's just between me and Jesus in my heart. No, it permeates all of life. It has implications for everything, implications for politics as well. Right? When our forefathers in Canada said, "He shall have dominion from sea to sea," and they quoted Psalm 72, they were, whether they had that all clear in their minds or not, I don't know, but they were confessing something that is still true and that we still pray for today. That the truth of Jesus Christ will permeate this land. But what we are not saying is that the kingdom of God is the nation of Canada. No, it's not. The kingdom of God is not the nation of Canada, nor the nation of Israel, nor the nation of the U.S. The kingdom of God is spiritual, wherever Christ is acknowledged and loved and lived. That's the kingdom of God. The power, wherever the power of the Holy Spirit is at work and witnessed in your life, that's where the kingdom is. Secondly, this kingdom is worldwide. They say, "Well, you will restore at this time the kingdom to Israel." And Jesus says, "You're not thinking big enough. Think Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And the book of Acts is all about that. Chapters 1 through 7, Jerusalem. Chapters 8 through 12, Judea and Samaria. Chapters 13 and following, to the ends of the earth. The Gentiles are gathered in. It's worldwide. It's not just for Jews, but it's for Gentiles. It's for all nations. For everyone. And here, today, we are a testimony to that. From many different backgrounds, many different cultures and ethnicities. But one Lord Jesus Christ. It's the power of the Holy Spirit to bring this gospel beyond the borders of Israel to the world. And that kingdom grows gradually. Not all at once, says Jesus. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Jesus says in Matthew 24, this gospel must be preached in all the world, and then the end will come. So we're still waiting for that end. Apparently, there are still places where the gospel needs to go yet. And that's why we pray for mission, we give to mission, and remember our own mission here as a church. To reach out to our neighbors and to pray for their salvation. To reach out for our loved ones who don't know Jesus. To trust the Lord that He will conquer hearts for His kingdom. It is not left up to us ultimately. It is the power of the Holy Spirit. We do this in dependence upon Him. This is the mission of the Holy Spirit. But He calls us into this. It's the Spirit who brings us to the Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthened in Jesus Christ. He says, "Now, O church, arise and put your armor on. Now go forward in the strength of your captain." Your captain whose spirit now dwells in you. Now go forward in your life, your lifestyle, how you live, with your words, how you speak, how you raise your children, how you work, how you learn at school or at home. How you interact with your friends and with your neighbors and all of these things, be witnesses to me. And so the ascended Christ pours out salvation on the earth through the Spirit. And today you and I, we are the fruits of that. And it is our prayer, may it continue to be our prayer, our focus as a church, not to lose who we are, but to be reoriented again today. Who are we? Through Christ. How? By the power of the Holy Spirit who is at work within us. For what? To proclaim and promote and live out His rule and His reign in all of life to the glory of His name until He comes again. Amen. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You. In spite of all of our sin, in spite of all the sin of Your people down through the ages, You have not forsaken her. You have not forsaken us. But You have poured out Your salvation upon us in the Lord Jesus Christ, whom You have sent, and by the working of His Holy Spirit, whom You have given. And so we pray, Holy Spirit, that You will more and more write Christ and His commandments upon our hearts, that they may be made visible more and more in our lives, in us, so that through us You will extend the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ and make His glory visible. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.